It's a strange sort of situation that we're in today, isn't it? But that's partly because what we're trying to do is we're trying to be both a gathered and a scattered people. We are trying to be people that connect in our church building, but also connect in homes and parks and other places as well. We're doing that because we think we're actually, in doing that, we're actually reflecting something of who God is, an essence of God's character, an essence of what God is about. And in May, Baptist churches like us often have a focus on missions, and we are really incredibly fortunate and to be connected to two overseas missions that with Mark and Anna Burgess in Peru and Angela Driver in Uganda, doing amazing things with lots of people who are in lots of needs in variety of ways and vulnerable in many ways. And so at the moment we are encouraging all of us to think about making a contribution to completing the community kitchen in the village in Uganda, so that there's a safe place for many of these single women who have kids to do their cooking in a place that's unlikely, or much less likely to cause damage to their homes if there's fire. So I think we've got about, I don't know, $800 to go, something like that, to help them reach their the target they need for that. And so we'd love you to think about doing that. There's links in our Facebook group and also in our church email. You can go to a GoFundMe page. You can even go send some money to the church account and say Uganda Kitchen in the description, and we will make sure it gets there so that they're able to do that. So that's really the first encouragement. There's a way that you can contribute this May in a really concrete and defined way for that. Secondly, we are doing this different rhythm of church, and we're working towards getting everybody in mid-sized groups in various places over the next few weeks. And hopefully this morning you'll have a chance to have conversations with people in home churches or small groups about that. And if not, then I'd love to have conversations with you directly myself over the next couple of weeks, because we want a place for everybody in those places. So next Sunday we're back in our building, and hopefully on our live streaming working better than it is today. And then the following week, we're looking to be in our mid-sized groups. That's on the 16th of May. The other really important information is that we are going through now an important series of decision-making processes regarding our church building project, and we're having a number of meetings around that. The first one is this coming Wednesday night from 7:30 p.m. in the church building, and then then we'll look to schedule at least one other meeting that's a repeat of that meeting, and then other meetings that we might have to help address questions, because we're working towards on the 23rd of May having a special general meeting of the church to make final votes on the proceeding to the construction phase of our building project. So some really important updating information that's happening this Wednesday night. In person in the church building, but also hopefully on a live stream, hopefully better than this. And then an opportunity for us to really think and pray and ask questions and interact both in the meeting and also in the days after it. We really want everybody to have all the information that they need and that chance to have ask all the questions that they need to ask for that. So that's the they're the things that are coming up there. All right. Wanted to spend a bit of time just reflecting as well on the nature of God, and in terms of mission, because it's, when we think about Mark and Anna in Peru, they were sent to Peru. They originally came from England and from Sheffield, and really had a sense of God calling them and sending them to Peru. And Angela Driver went to visit Uganda, and some of the work that we were supporting there, and she fell in love with the place and has ended up staying there and being a missionary there as well for the last number of years. And so that's not an accident, because God is one who sends. And we see it all through the scriptures, even from the beginning, in Genesis, where God chooses Abraham and sends him from Ur of the Chaldees to Canaan. And then, you know, through the story of the Old Testament, we have people like Jonah that is sent from Israel to Nineveh to do God's work. And then, obviously, we have the main example of Jesus, where in John 3:16, where God, it says, God so loved the world that he sent his only son. And then when a few weeks ago when we had our community gathering in the church hall, we were looking at the fact that when Jesus, after his death and resurrection and just before his ascension, he was talking to his disciples about lots of things. And one of the things he told them about was the things that he was sending them to do. And many of us will be familiar with the Great Commission in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations. But there's actually similar commissions recorded at the end of Mark and Luke and John, and also in the beginning part of Acts. So there's five commissions, if you like, five great commissions. It's, Jesus was repeating himself in different, slightly different ways, making it really clear that they, as followers of him who were copying him, would be sent just like Jesus himself was sent. But God doesn't just send, God also supports. And for example, with the sending of Jesus, it wasn't just Jesus coming, but it was also the anointing of the Spirit that he received at baptism. And it wasn't just the Spirit at baptism, but there was also support that people provided. And this can be seen in Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. It says, after this, in verse 1, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And it included a bunch of people, including in verse 3, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. You see, God doesn't just send, he also supports, both spiritually and also financially. And we see this in the Great Commission in Matthew 28, where Jesus says, I am, go and make disciples, I am with you always. Or in the beginning of Acts, in Acts chapter 1, where he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and to the ends of the earth. And so we see that God is a God who sends, and God is a God who supports. And sometimes this sending is clear and deliberate from the beginning, like with Abraham, like with Jonah. Sometimes it emerges after the event, or as seemingly as a byproduct. And a great example of that from the Old Testament is Joseph, where his brothers are jealous of him and sell him into slavery, and he ends up going to Egypt, and the story of interpreting dreams and then being appointed as the second highest official in all of Egypt to help people save them from famine. And when he's finally reunited with his brothers, and he said, what you intended for evil, God intended used for good. And so although Joseph didn't intend to go to Egypt, and was on the surface it wasn't planned, God used his being sent in an amazing and redeeming way. And it happened with the early church as well. It says in Acts, let me just find the relevant place. In verse chapter 8, on that day, great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply in him. But Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house. He dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. And then it goes on to the story of Philip. And then a bit further on in chapter 11, it says this from verse 19. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word of God only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. And so we see here again, if you like, the accidental or byproduct sending that happened with the early church. And Antioch, a fascinating church. It's the place where people were first called Christians, which basically means little Christs or copies of Jesus. And it's no surprise that if God is a God who sends and supports, and Jesus is one who was sent and supported, and Jesus told his disciples that they need that they that he was sending them and he was going to support them, that they would be characteristics of this church in Antioch, where they were called little Christs. And so we see that precisely in chapter 13, where they were worshipping and praying together and fasting, and it says in chapter 13, from verse 2, while they were worshipping and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. And Barnabas and Saul, or Paul, went on mission first to Cyprus and then Galatia. And then there was a dramatic, Paul had a dream and he went over to Macedonia and to Philippi and they established a church there. And the remarkable thing is that that church in Philippi also, if you like, inherited the DNA of God, the DNA of Jesus, the DNA of the church in Antioch, the DNA of Paul and Barnabas. And so they were also concerned about sending and supporting. And it says, if you read through at the back end of the Paul's letter to the Philippians, and also you can see it, there's some reference to it, I think, in maybe chapter 18 or 17 in the book of Acts, that the Philippians supported Paul in his missionary endeavors, and they sent money with people to help support Paul. But that wasn't the only thing that was a feature of the church in Antioch. And if we go back to the church, the story about the church in Antioch in chapter 11, it says this from verse 27. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them named Agabus stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide help to the brothers and sisters living in Judea. They did this, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. And so there is this also this thing that happens as well, where God provides for people in one place by the generosity of people in another place. And here we see this young early church in Antioch being inspired by God to help out people in another country who were in financial and other difficulties. And that DNA was passed on through Paul to the church in Philippi and other churches in Asia Minor, because we can read in the end of 2 Corinthians and also 1 Corinthians where Paul is taking up another collection to help out the believers that are in financial difficulties in Jerusalem. And people all around that region through Thessalonica and Philippi and Corinth and Ephesus are making contributions and putting aside money on a daily or weekly basis to save it up. And then Paul's sending people around to collect all that money and then take it carefully and hand deliver it to the people in Jerusalem. And so we see here that there is both this the DNA of God and the DNA of churches is sending and supporting. And that's what we want to live out to as our church, that we want to be sending and supporting. We want to be sending, we're sending ourselves into the local community, and we want to be supporting each other as we do that. We are sending support overseas to people like Mark and Anna and to Angela. And we want to be awake and listening to God and open to whether God is going to want to send some of us, even maybe in ways that we never even dreamed of, to places overseas. And that we would become sent one, like Paul was specifically a sent one. You see, God seems to be sending people from one place to another place. He sends them across cultures. He sends them across countries. And for some deep reasons, I think, which we can maybe only speculate a bit about, this seems to be an important part of what God does. Firstly, I think it's because God actually sees the whole world as his family, right? And so sending people from one place to another creates and establishes those connections between people that wouldn't otherwise not regard themselves as brothers and sisters. But secondly, I think when people come from one place to another, they come into a situation with fresh eyes and they can see things that maybe people that are just there can't see. And in recent years, we've seen, if you like, there's a reverse missionary thing happening in Western countries where people from Africa and other places are actually coming, being sent to Western countries to re-evangelize and to reach out to people who are no longer parts of churches. So it seems in the economy of God that there's always this place where people are sent from one place to another. And so I think we need to be aware of that and seeking to listen to God about that and discerning God about that. Now, when we look back through the history of missions, there is sometimes stories of where people haven't just taken the good news of Jesus, they've also taken their cultural accretions. Now, they just haven't taken Jesus, they've taken Western versions of church and Western versions of culture and government and commerce and things like that, and unconsciously have done that. And sometimes that's been really quite unhelpful. And over the journey, I've read a couple of books where people that have been missionaries from Western contexts and gone to other countries, but have really come in from underneath, not from the top down, but from underneath. One was a Catholic missionary actually went to Tanzania to the Maasai, and he wrote about it in a book called Christianity Rediscovered, where he began to realize all of the some lots of the things that he brought with him were actually cultural rather than just gospel, and he had to let the gospel take root in that culture and in that community and find its own unique expressions. And another book by called Brusco about a guy from America who went to some Indian cultures in Colombia and in Venezuela, and how he came in from weakness and vulnerability and brought the gospel in a way that was not imposed from the outside. And that's really what God did. Jesus came into this world in weakness and vulnerability as a baby and was reliant on the people around him and grew up in that culture. And so we hopefully have learned these lessons that we don't go as the know-it-all saviors of everybody, but as the humble servants of people. And I really love how the Global Interaction, which is the Baptist mission agency, has rethought and recast their mission. And this is what it says now. Global Interaction's mission is with deep compassion and cultural sensitivity. Global Interaction exists to empower communities to develop their own distinctive ways of following Jesus. And I think that is just reflective of some of the lessons that we've learned, the church has learned about mission, reflecting on the good things and the not so good things that have happened over the last few centuries. I love that's about helping communities wherever they are and whatever culture they are find their own unique ways of following Jesus, about empowering them and helping them to discover it, to walk into that. And so we want to be people at Encounter Baptist who do similar things. We want to be people who embody the DNA of God, the sendingness of God. And so we want to be people who are sent, and we want to be on the lookout and to be prayed careful about who we might be able to send in specific ways, whether it's locally or even internationally. And secondly, we want also to be people who support, but that are people that are sent, whether it's local or international, whether it's to groups that we might be running here or to ministry and mission efforts that are happening in other places. We want to be people who support those endeavors in ways, because when we do that, we are embodying the characteristics of God. When we do that, we are embodying the characteristics of the early communities of Christians that we read about in the book of Acts. And we are embodying the characteristics of Christian communities down through the centuries that have taken up and embraced the characteristics of being sent and of sending support. And hopefully we will also do it with a sensitivity that we recognize is deeply and vitally important. So in our home churches today, in our mid-sized gatherings, wherever you are, we hope you might have a chance to have a conversation about your experiences of churches that you might have been in and who the missionaries they've supported or the work that they've supported both locally and internationally. Maybe you might like to think in this mission month of May who whether God is prompting you to support some mission endeavor in some fresh way or to a greater extent. But we also would love you to think and have a conversation about which of our size groups that we're trying to form over the next couple of weeks might be a good fit for you. Because we think that these groups are great places to help people that aren't necessarily connected to church to find ways to connect with God in ways that help them. And maybe there's a particular group and our home church leaders have some information about the different groups we're trying to form. And you might have a conversation about which one you is the best fit for you. Well, thank you for being with us today. Really appreciate that. I'm really sorry that we've had such technical difficulties. And so we really do thank you for your patience with that. And I trust that your online or in-person gatherings go ahead with much less problems than we've had today. Let me pray for us. God, we thank you that you are with us wherever we are. And we pray your blessing on us as we gather in different places. And we pray that you would speak to our hearts, God, this month, particularly about how we are connected to your mission, both locally and internationally, how you're sending us and how you're calling us to support people who are sent. God, inspire us and challenge us and enable us to more fully reflect your character, the God who sends and the God who supports, the God who sends and supports with sensitivity. Lord, help us to be like that, just like Jesus was like that, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, bless you. Hope you have a great day.